Welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
And this week, an exploration of everything that we liked this year. It's our year-end roundup with your hosts, Speak Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
And your other host, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
Welcome to our kind of end of the year wrap-up before we immerse ourselves in the wild 7D. We are going to just take a moment to talk about the things that brought us some joy in the year 2022.
Yes, yes. Yeah, will be our last episode of 2022. We'll have the next couple weeks off, and then the second week of January, we will be diving into 7B. Which should be a wild, wild ride. But it just seemed like a fun way to kind of cap off the year, cap off this run of bonus content with a little catch up of some of the, I think, specifically pop culture-y things. But we'll probably talk about other things that brought us joy in 2022. Why don't you start us off? What's something that brought you joy?
Well, I'm so interested to see, like, I bet there are some things on our list that might be the same and probably a lot of things that will be different. But I'm gonna start with one thing. This is like not a shock to anybody because we did a whole episode about it. But Midnights, the album by Taylor Swift, definitely, like, in terms of musical content, brought me a lot of joy.
Yes, Midnights is on my list as well. Impressively, on my like Apple Music replay, Midnights is like in my top 100 for 2022, despite coming out at the end of the year.
Wow, that is super impressive. Today, yeah. Like they do all these like engagement questions in Slack at my work. And today's was like, if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, like what would you pick? And someone, like, I didn't respond to it, but I did like the response of someone who had, like, said maybe Midnights. And I felt like, actually, I don't know that I would say this is the album I would choose to listen to if I could only listen to one piece of music for the rest of time. But I feel like it's a good choice because it's long. There are a lot of songs on it. And there are, like, four different versions of it. So I feel like you could definitely do worse than picking this album.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's kind of it's a very vibey album.
Yeah.
You know? I think that is something about it that has a kind of, I don't know, it just like it can get you in a mood, it can maybe get you out of a mood. It's really fun.
And I really like, you know, like there've been so many attempts to kind of like, oh, you know, Taylor's a country singer, Taylor's a pop star, Taylor's like, and, you know, doing like indie music now. I feel like I really like the way that like Taylor has actually become so popular that she can just do whatever music she wants to do. So I really, I like Midnights in that way.
I totally agree. Something I'm going to mention that I know is something that you enjoyed as well, although I don't believe you finished it, but A League of Their Own, the series.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. That is on my like things that I liked, even though I didn't get to finish all of them list. Yes. Tell us about all the things you, and I think was this another one where I told you that I thought you would really like it? And then
I
still haven't finished watching it and you have finished it and loved it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I just loved this series so much. I think it really, I did not realize that it was going to be such a queer-centric show. I thought it was going to be like an updated League of Their Own with like a little sprinkling of queer energy in it. And it turned out to be really a story centered on the experience of queer people in the 40s. And I just thought it was so much fun. I loved the characters. You know, I've gone on record and said that like pretty much any show that features like complex relationships between women, like I'm there. I'm halfway, you know, I'm pretty much sold at that point. And this show, it was like just all these wonderful friendships and romances and rivalries and, you know, sort of these sisterhood bonds. Like I thought it was such a great time. I thought it was really funny. I was really surprised actually by how well I thought they blended kind of more contemporary humor with this older setting. I would say I personally believe that A League of Their Own is the best series about queer women that I've ever seen.
Wow. That is high praise. But I would agree with, I haven't finished the series, so I can't speak to it like as with as much authority as you can, but I think that is probably true based on like the number of complex relationships and that are not all romantic relationships, like
yeah.
the friendships between queer women, which I feel like you don't like, that's a really rich territory that doesn't get explored as much as it should, which is just amazing. But also like just the diversity of characters and of
yeah.
like, character experiences in the world that they inhabit. So yeah, I think you're right on.
Well, and I totally agree about the diversity of experiences. And I think that the intersectionality of various factors like race and gender presentation and class, like it was really touching on a lot while managing to be really entertaining and managing to make me care about sports, which is always an impressive thing.
Well, you also went to a basketball game this year. So in addition, you did go to a basketball game. You went to a WNBA game, right?
I did. I got to see Sue Bird play in her last season.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're basically a sports gay now.
I really am. I am. Just, you know, yeah. Insert sports reference here.
Well, it's, you know, it's good to learn unexpected things about old friends.
It certainly is.
But yeah, I thought A League of Their Own was just terrific. Like, I was a big fan of the original movie, and so I was like kind of not sure what I was going to think about the reboot, but I too was just delighted by how queer it was, and also just how well done it was, and the way that it like kind of it took the world of the movie and it just expanded its horizons in all of the best ways. Like it really gave space for other stories that were not explored in the movie, and I think that like that is so strong. Like that's such a strong choice, and it's such a confident choice, because my gosh, like we've all seen it before, like where all you're doing is a paint by numbers reboot of a beloved property. And that's not really enough, you know, like you have to have the, you know, you have to pass the so what test. Like, why is this needed now? Like, what's going on? And I feel like it does it. And also I feel like, oh my goodness, the chemistry between Carson and Greta is just like, whew, off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I think it's clearly a show that just a lot of care was put into every element of it. And I think you see that in every respect, which was really, really fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me another one of yours.
Okay, so this is a recent one, because I just found out about it this weekend. But Emily St. John Mandel, author of Station 11, came out. Yes, I was reading about it on Slate, where they did, the headline was like a totally normal interview with Emily St. John Mandel. And I was like, oh, what's this going to be? And she needed to do a media interview because she had divorced her husband in April. And she had talked about being married in an interview with Publishers Weekly, like in 2012. And Wikipedia, she couldn't get Wikipedia to accept that she was divorced unless she had a media citation of equal weight saying that she divorced. So she like hopped on Twitter and found like a Slate writer who was willing to do like an interview with her that was like, so what are your holiday plans this year? Are you currently married?
You gay?
And then she was like, well, I had to correct the situation with my Wikipedia page, and because like when my girlfriend's friends Google me, it shows up that I am a married woman, and that's just no good. And I loved Station 11. I have had Sea of Tranquility in the house for like ages, and I have not gotten through reading it yet. But I really love her work, and I am always delighted when anybody comes out. I'm also going to like kind of piggyback on that with like other celebrity coming out that brought me joy, which was Chrishell from Selling Sunset, who is currently dating, I believe they're still dating, non-binary musician G Flip, who I had never heard of before, and who originally I watched the video and I listened to the song, like where they're making out in the post-apocalyptic 7-Eleven or whatever it is, and I did have a moment of like, am I too old for new music? But I got over it. I loved the aesthetic of them just, you know, going wild in the 7-Eleven. And I thought it was super cute when they dressed as each other for Halloween. Very, very high marks for a very gay thing to do. So yeah, loved both of those coming out.
Awesome. That is, yeah, I mean, always worth celebrating.
And if they ever break up, I really feel like G Flip would be a great person for Ashley Benson to date, because she was dating that rapper who's like G-Eazy or whatever his name is. So I feel like a queer non-binary rapper who also has a G name would just be the right choice.
She can just go through all the G's.
Yeah.
That is great. I am going to put for something for me, the discovery of, and I'm not saying discovery as in I discovered this person, but discovery as in I was not aware of this person until this year, Blair Braverman, who I really enjoyed listening to her episodes on You're Wrong About, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And she had a couple of episodes talking about various kind of disasters and just speaking with so much empathy and humanity for the people impacted. And so then I listened to her novel on audiobook, Small Game, and really, really enjoyed it. It's a great survival story, and also is queer, and Blair herself is queer. And just really, really enjoyed kind of delving into the world of Blair Braverman.
Oh, 100% co-sign that. Blair Braverman has a fantastic Twitter account. I know Twitter is like going circling the drain these days, but she and her partner Quince Mountain are like very involved in dog sledding. And so excellent palate cleansing dog content on Blair Braverman's Instagram, Instagram and Twitter, I'm sure. She also has a great column that she writes for Outside Magazine. See, now that you're a sports gay, you might also become like an outdoorsy gay. Possibly.
I am not becoming a camping gay. I just, I would like that on the record.
Okay. I mean, never name the well from which you will not drink, but yes. Blair Braverman is totally fantastic. And she writes a great column for Outside Magazine. Which, as you know, I love advice columns. So advice on outdoors things are always cool. She also has she's done several segments on NPR with like This American Life, I think. And she wrote a book called Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube, which is about her experiences as a wilderness guide doing tours on a glacier, I believe.
Yeah.
Completely. I did not discover her this year. I've been a fan of hers for a while, but yeah, she is awesome. If anyone has not gotten into Blair Braverman, now is a great time. Small Game, another book I have in my house that I have not read, but intend to. So.
Yeah. If I enjoyed it, I thought it was a really fun time, and kind of, I don't know. I think it's, there is something oddly comforting about reading a survivalist story in 2022. Like, it's like, oh, well, at least we're not having to deal with this stuff, you know?
This is like not, it's not from Midnight's, but it's from a different Taylor song, but like, There's the Taylor line, like, went home and stalked you on the internet. Now I've read all the books beside your bed. And this year I've totally, every time I've listened to that line, I've been like, huh, well, I haven't. So they're just sitting there.
Sometimes it goes like that. Absolutely. What's another one from your list?
Let's see. What do I have? Jinx Monsoon on Drag Race. I was thinking that might have made your list too, but loved Jinx Monsoon. Loved basically everything she did. She was so funny. She was so great. One of my best friends is a big Jinx fan, and in this most recent season of Drag Race, especially appreciated the way that Jinx was very out about her witchiness, and would bring up Hecate and said, like, Jinx Monsoon is like the most, she should be the most famous witch in America, because she is really out there repping witchiness in all of the best ways. So loved Jinx winning, and of course shout out to her being a witch.
Oh, cosign everything. I mean, you know, there's a lot of Seattle pride wrapped up in loving Jinx. For me personally, I adore Jinx. I think she is just like, it is wild to me that much talent exists in one human being. And she was such a joy. And in general, I think, you know, Drag Race is, there's a lot of Drag Race content, but I think that this most recent All-Star season really kind of made a case for like why this show still has new, fresh, interesting things to feature. And I loved that they switched up the format a little bit. And I enjoyed Jinx immensely.
Yes.
I am going to say sort of the Las Culturistas universe, and kind of extend that out in a few different directions to say, so I love the podcast Las Culturistas. This is Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. My girlfriend and I were lucky enough to see Matt Rogers live the other week, and he was incredible. It was like so fun to be in a space surrounded by queer people and seeing this amazing queer artist. And then I'm going to kind of use that as a jumping off point to say, like, Bowen Yang, the rise of Bowen Yang makes me so happy. I think SNL is like in a weird place right now, but Bowen Yang is always a bright spot, and it's just him getting like more kind of mainstream attention is such a delight. And then I'm going to like expand the universe a little bit to include Joel Kim Booster, who I think is so smart and incredible and funny. And his movie, Fire Island, which also had Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang in it, was one of my favorite movies of this last year. I just thought it was such a joyful, fun, smart celebration, such a fun adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. Just a really delightful time. It's a movie I've seen twice. I think I will probably see it a third time at some point. It was definitely like probably maybe the movie that brought me the most joy that came out this last year. If not the movie, then definitely up there. I would just say the sort of umbrella of the Las Culturistas universe and the various, folks that have floated around that. And special shout out to the episodes of Las Culch where they do deep dives on Taylor Swift's albums, because those are just like catnip for me.
Wow. A lot to offer there. Also, that is like a huge ringing endorsement from you about that movie, because you have a high bar. You have a high bar for your films.
I do have a high bar. Yeah. So. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Excellent. Let's see. One thing that really brought me a lot of joy this year, Amy Schneider's multi-game run, 40 wins in a row on Jeopardy. Oh yeah. My gosh. Love to see a queer woman. And actually, Matea Roach was also, she was also a multi-game winner and was also in the Tournament of Champions. And she is also a queer woman. So it was a really big year for queer women on Jeopardy. And Amy Schneider, especially a trans woman, and she's like recently gotten married to her girlfriend after after her big streak was over. And she's like quit her job and is now writing a book. Man, I love smart women. I love queer women on Jeopardy. So it was a really, really good year in that arena.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love the just I guess I'll say this, but I think it's related to what you're saying, which is Jojo Siwa on Dancing with the Stars, which is like both of these, I feel like, are examples of queer people just getting to exist in these sort of spaces that are considered much more like the kind of shows that, like, you know, just everyday average Joe, middle America. Like, I know that's such a kind of pejorative term, but like, they're not queer people getting to exist in like mainstream media and not just being on the fringes and not just being in like queer specific media.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to call that shows you could watch with your grandparents.
Yes. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
That's how I would really describe both of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And yeah, I was delighted that, you know, to see Jojo Siwa just out there dancing with a woman on Dancing with the Stars. And yeah. And then like this last season on Dancing with the Stars, Shangela doing her thing. So
yeah, I agree with that. That, man, when was Jojo Siwa on that show? Yeah, I loved seeing all of her dances after, you know, you get clips after the show and stuff like that. And I loved seeing what she did with that.
I completely agree. I'm going to say I Kissed Shara Wheeler.
Yes, that's on my list too.
Good. I mean, we did a whole episode on that, but that book brought me so much joy. It was just such a delightful romp. And really kind of made me hopeful about the future of not just like queer YA literature, but also just like the future of young queer people.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I totally feel that. That book, I feel like, was so great because it would be like, I just feel like it would be so amazing to have that book accessible to a person who is a queer teen. And it's also amazing for like me to read and like kind of feel like I'm able to access like the feeling of being a queer teen through that read. So yeah. Completely, definitely. That was a book I liked so much. I did finish it this year. So two thumbs way, way up for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Something that I have really loved this year, is the, emerging discussion that acknowledges, Lou Alcott, author of Little Women, as a trans man. Which I think, you know, kind of started with like a Twitter thread by Peyton Thomas, who is a writer who has, you know, many, many credits, including like Vanity Fair and other publications. But a great thread. And it has really like kind of prompted a lot of like articles and a lot of think pieces about it. And, you know, I love when our understanding of, you know, of historical figures expands in this way, and the way that it like just it transforms our ideas about like what certain experiences were like before our own lifetimes. And especially like with Lou Alcott and Little Women and the character of Jo, which, you know, we've talked a lot about that on our podcast before. Mm-hmm. But I just think that whole discussion has just been like so interesting and so like just so revelatory to kind of follow and observe.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you shouted that out. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it's there is something really powerful about recognizing, and this is something that I think A League of Their Own did as well in the fictional sense of recognizing, like, you know, these journeys, these stories have a long history and a long arm, and it's just that they haven't been able to be told until now. It's not that they didn't exist.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Related to that, I am going to kind of mention, I mentioned the You're Wrong About podcast earlier. I'm gonna shout that podcast out and sort of it's one of its sister podcasts. Actually, I'll shout out two of its sister podcasts. Why not? I love You're Wrong About. It's changed a little bit in recent years. But I specifically want to mention an episode that came out actually a couple of years ago, but I have re-listened to it in 2022, and it is their episode on Kitty Genovese. And it goes into the fact that a huge piece of that story that is not talked about is the fact this is Kitty Genovese is the story of, you know, the many witnesses to this woman's death and nobody did anything. And it's sort of held up as this example of like urban apathy. And a huge piece of that story that doesn't get talked about is that Kitty Genovese was a lesbian, and that people involved in that story, there were a lot of queer people, there were a lot of people who feared the police, and it's a lovely, that episode of You're Wrong About is a lovely tribute to sort of people whose stories have kind of gotten misremembered and forgotten, but who were still kind of out there being brave and being a little bit reckless and falling in love. And yeah, so I want to shout that out. Related to that, two other podcasts, each hosted by one of the hosts of You're Wrong About. You Are Good is, they call themselves a feelings podcast or about movies or a movies podcast about feelings, one or the other. But they do really, really interesting deep dives on various films. Their Practical Magic episode is unexpectedly an incredible, like, rumination on grief. But they did an episode on Thelma and Louise that inspired me to rewatch Thelma and Louise and gave me a whole new appreciation for that movie and just how powerful that movie is, and just the sort of ferocity of female relationships. I think that movie explores that in such an incredible way. And then also another podcast kind of in that same universe is Maintenance Phase, hosted by, Aubrey and Michael Hobbs and Aubrey Gordon. And that really has sort of opened my eyes personally to a lot of the bizarre stuff in the so-called wellness industry and the way that, like, it just, I think that that podcast has a really helpful attitude about bodies and community and kind of how we can better serve everybody by kind of reevaluating the way that we think about food and health and fatness and wellness and all these different things. So highly recommend that podcast.
Excellent. Excellent. I have another just kind of pop culture moment that made me really happy, which was Lizzo playing James Madison's fancy flute.
Yes.
That made people so angry, which I thought was just like that was, I thought it was awesome that the National Archives, for one thing, like, you know, sort of like we were talking about Lou Alcott, like created more living history by like bringing this object out of its collection. And like, everybody knows that James Madison had this fancy ass flute now, which no one knew about, like, except for like people who, I guess, worked at the National Archives. It was Library of Congress. That's what it was. National Archives, and Library of Congress that were doing it. But yeah, I thought that was awesome. And I thought that everybody who was so upset about that, like, James Madison was a slaveholder. Like, if Lizzo wanted to take that flute and like just smash it on the stage, I feel like that would have been also completely appropriate. But the fact that she got to play it in front of a crowd and, you know, make music with it, I thought that was completely phenomenal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great one. The show Yellow Jackets. What a fun time, a fun, creepy time. And a show that actually has an interesting connection to PLL in that Emily's boyfriend, Ben, her terrible boyfriend, Ben, plays a wonderful gay coach on Yellow Jackets.
Shock.
So it's like a very, very interesting full circle moment. But I think that show is such a delight. I think that all of the performances are phenomenal. I love the queerness. I love just the like fucked upness of these women. I love that show. It was recently announced that it's going to get a season 2 and 3, which is wonderful. That show brought me a lot of joy. I think it came out in 2022. It might have come out at the end of 2021, but whatever.
Who can tell?
Who can say? Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay, so this, man, there's like a whole theme on my list of like reclaiming things, it seems like. But the Whitney Houston movie that is, I don't know if it's out now or if it's coming out soon, but the kind of like recognition of Whitney Houston as a queer person, which was like always kind of like underground whisper rumor back in the day, but now this movie is going to like include her relationship with Robin Crawford as one of the, you know, kind of, I don't know if it's going to be a central part, but it is going to be included in the movie, and I think that is also fantastic, to see someone who was like so talented and so iconic being recognized, you know, unfortunately, like after their death, in a way that they like could not be recognized and embraced during their life.
Yeah, I agree. I'm cautiously optimistic about this movie. We'll see how it goes, because some of the Bohemian Rhapsody people are involved, and I'm like, but maybe it'll be great. I really hope it will be. Yeah. This is one of the more like mainstream picks in terms of like, this is going to be on many people's end of the year roundup list, but, Everything Everywhere All at Once, what a masterpiece of a film. I don't think there's anything I can say about it that hasn't been said a million times over. But I, especially like the queerness in that movie functions in such an interesting way. And it's, I was really surprised by how central to the plot that ended up being. And I thought the way that it was handled was really beautiful. And there was a lot of really interesting subtleties around the sort of queer experience that felt just very specific and very lived in. And obviously there's a lot about that movie not related to queerness that's also tremendous. So just an amazing accomplishment. I love seeing a movie that weird be that successful. I hope it wins all the awards.
Okay. Awesome. You know what? This is kind of going a little bit off topic, but I'm so surprised that I haven't asked you about this. Did you see Don't Worry, Darling?
I saw like the first like 2/3 of Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what prevented you from continuing to watch it? Was it not very good? Were you like struck by lightning? Did you become ill? Like what?
It was not holding my attention. It was one of those like you pause it and you're like, oh, there's that much of the movie left? Okay. Nope. I'm done. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But when you were talking about that, I was thinking about one of the things that I did enjoy was all of the drama sort of surrounding the release of that. Like, that was like such a nice, like, I felt like, oh, what a low stakes drama to like, you know, just kind of have fun keeping track of like who's wearing, you know, what time are people arriving at the film festival and what are they wearing and who's, you know, who's dissing who. So I really enjoyed the drama around it, but I didn't see it. And so I was like, I wonder if you saw it, and now we have the answer.
Yeah. I think if you've seen the trailer, you've seen basically the film. Like it very much felt like a Pinterest board of ideas more than a film. But I completely agree. I found the drama to be such a delight. The whole question of like, did Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine? what an amazing time for everyone.
Yeah, like, And all of the, like, all of the, you know, little clips of, like, Harry Styles kind of talking about, like, what is acting while Chris Pine just, like, just, like, sits there, like, with a look on his face that clearly hopes that, like, one or both of them will just be, like, sucked into the floor at any moment. yeah, really, really enjoyable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a few different, a few more TV series that I want to shout out. The Sex Lives of College Girls, which its second season just wrapped up last week, I think. Just a really fun, light, like, romp of a show with a really great queer story. But I think, to me, like, the beating heart of that show are just the beautiful friendships between the girls. And it's always interesting watching a show that's, like, four young girls being friends. And I'm like, oh, this is what it could be like if PLL, like, wasn't steeped in trauma and pedophiles. So, yeah, that show just is another thing that brings me joy.
Awesome. Awesome. So this was, like, sort of a, I guess it was, like, more of a TikTok moment, but it is Liar related in Shay Mitchell and the Green Velvet Couch of Bisexuality.
Oh, yes.
So love that. Love that piece of furniture for her. Feel like it fits well, and feels like Emily Fields, Mona Vanderwaal, and Spencer Hastings, at least, would all really enjoy it.
And would all love themselves a green couch, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not explicitly queer, but it is just something that I found very fun this last year, which is Jenny Nicholson's YouTube channel. Jenny Nicholson is a YouTuber who does these, like, really intense deep dives on often extremely random topics. Like, she had, like, a 3-hour video about the Vampire Diaries. She had a really long video about this one church in Canada that puts on these church plays, these jukebox musicals, and she, like, went through and reviewed each one. She just recently released a really long video all about this random theme park called Evermore that's, like, this sort of, like, failure of a theme park. Like, her videos have become, like, if I'm stressed, if I just need something familiar and comforting and, like, somewhat engaging, I throw on a Jenny Nicholson video. Like, I just find her to be so funny and just kind of, like, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to sit down with my friend Jenny and she's going to tell me a story. Like, she just has this way of delivering information where it feels, it just feels like everyone's kind of welcome in. And the fun thing is, because her videos are about so many random things, there's probably a video for you in there for anybody. So, yeah, definitely Jenny Nicholson's YouTube channel.
No, listen, I love that about the internet. Like, I mean, I guess it's not surprising because we've been doing this podcast for so long, but, like, I am just a sucker for, like, what weird thing are you just so into that you could talk about it forever?
Yes.
And like, oh my gosh, yeah, sign me up. A theme park I've never heard of? Oh my gosh, that sounds fascinating. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like, she, one of her episodes is just all about BronyCon. And, like, basically, like how My Little Pony became kind of overtaken by bronies. And, like, halfway through the video, she basically, like, comes out as, like, a brony celebrity. like, that she had this whole kind of other life that where she did this show, parody show of My Little Pony. And so it's, yeah, her videos are always just so fun.
Awesome. Let's see what else is on my list. Oh, I have a couple of video games on my list. I've talked about this one before, but Stardew Valley is still, like, my comforting, happy place that I can go to, like, access relaxation via harvesting parsnips or, like, you know, gathering honey or, you know, just anything that you might do. So I love playing Stardew Valley. I am on a playthrough right now where I have just saved up enough to get the golden clock, which has mm-hmm. been a goal of mine for a while. So that's going to stop debris from showing up on my farm, which is nice. And so yeah, Stardew Valley, I play it on mobile. I play it on my iPad, and there's like an updated version that has been supposed to come out for mobile for a while. It's supposed to be out by the end of the year, but the year only has a very few number of days left in it. So I'm waiting for that. I got a Switch this year because I wanted to play Stardew Valley. I wanted to play the updated version where you can get ostriches, which is this new version that's supposed to be out for mobile soon. So I got a Switch specifically so that I could play that. But I haven't played it enough to get good at fighting in the mines on the Switch. I like die immediately every time I go in there, and it's not that that part is less fun. So still working on my Switch skills, but I have really enjoyed Stardew Valley. And then my brother actually showed me a game that is so mindless. It's called Arcade Basket. And it is like just an app version of like playing a video, you know, like when you're in like a Dave and Buster's or like a, you know, and you play like a you know, just a toss basketball game. It's like that, but it's an app, and it is so mindless and it is so fun. And he showed it to me during a time like It's been kind of a rough year for me. My partner's been, you know, having a health crisis, and my father had a heart attack and eventually passed away. It was a rough time, but while we were at the hospital with my dad, my brother showed me this ridiculous little basketball game, and it was such a dark time that, like, even just, like, the small spark of joy that you could get from getting, like, a high score in this silly little game was, like, worth its weight in gold. So I'm now very emotionally attached to Arcade Basket.
Gotcha. Oh, that is lovely. That is lovely.
Yes, and bonus points. Like when I get a higher score than my brother, I can still like take a screenshot and send it to him and be like, ha ha, you can't touch me.
So. You get some bragging rights there.
Yes,
that is great. Where do I want to go here? I am going to mention, the show, The Watcher, which I think is something we both actually watched this year.
Yes. So good.
I enjoyed it so much more than I expected to, because, you know, Ryan Murphy stuff can be a little hit or miss, but I found it just really compelling and it ended up being much more of a psychological exploration than I think I expected it to. It felt like this really interesting kind of contained little mystery. It was like campy and ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to say it was like perfect, you know, subtle highbrow entertainment, but boy, was it entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, it was. It was really entertaining. Also, I this is like from many years ago now, but like the original article that series was based off about The Watcher was also super interesting and super creepy. And so I was like very interested in the series, like just when I first heard about it. And then I was like, oh, Ryan Murphy, I don't know. But yeah, it surprised me with how good it was. It was extremely well acted. And I feel like, you know, if you would have told me that I would like say that, like, you can talk about it, like, you know, you could talk about that piece of media and compare it to like The Haunting of Hill House, I would have been like, Ryan Murphy, no way. But like, I feel like there were a lot of really interesting similarities between those two shows. I really enjoyed both of them.
Yeah. I agree. And there was something about, I don't know, I really like anytime you can watch something that's just kind of self-contained, because I feel like everything gets kind of stretched beyond, like, if it's mildly successful, it gets kind of like stretched beyond its premise. And like, who knows, maybe they will make a Watcher season 2 that's like all made up stuff. But yeah. I liked that, like, watching that, it felt to me like a contained mystery.
Yeah, I also really liked the ending. I liked how they ended.
I did too.
I thought that it was really good. I was wondering, because I, as I said, I had read the original article, and I was like, oh, I wonder how, what are they going to do? And I liked what they chose.
I agree.
Okay, wow, we are getting down to sort of the bottom parts of my list. And this is not really a pop culture moment so much, but it is like just something that has brought me some happiness this year, which is, man, I am like, when you're going through a tough time in the world, it's really a nice thing to like realize that like good things are happening for other people. Like, you fell in love this year. That was a big deal. Another really good friend of mine recently like got a job in like animal care, which is something that she's going to be just so good at. So it's really, it's really made me happy that like, even though I haven't had the best time of it, like really good things are still going on in the world for other people who I know and love. So that's nice.
That is really sweet. That is a great thing to mention. Well, it feels sort of shallow to mention something pop culture-y now.
No, please go right ahead.
Actually, you know what? This is kind of related. This is one that I wanted to mention, which is there is an article on Autostraddle. I guess it's more of an essay than an article on Autostraddle that was published at the beginning of this year called We Call It Time Travel by Vanessa.
Oh, such a good one.
It's such a beautiful article. And I read it at the beginning of the year and I was like, this is incredible. I love this. I just in general really love that, like, I have never been a person where like time travel or multiverse or like any of that kind of stuff means anything to me. But I feel like this is the year where there was media about those concepts that finally I was like, oh, I get this. I get why this is appealing and interesting. And that article is about so many things, but one of them that I just think is so beautiful is this idea of like, kind of love as this transformative power that sort of creates alternative universes and lets you travel through time. And there's this one quote in particular that I just want to read because I think it is beautiful and has felt really relevant to my life this year, because as Joanna just mentioned, the thing that I am most grateful for this year, the thing that has made me the happiest in 2022, is that I met someone who I absolutely adore and fell in love with her. And being in love is pretty wonderful. And so I reread this article when once I was, you know, officially coupled up, and it really took on a new meaning. So this is the quote. It's very short. It says, "It's not that love is a static place we bring new lovers to every time we feel it. Love is a creation that occurs between the people feeling it. To love someone new is to agree to travel somewhere that doesn't exist yet together. Love is a brand new place we choose to go to every time." And I really, in the last several years, I think I have really kind of internalized the idea of like love as an action and like what it means to love as a verb, not just to sort of use love as an adjective or a noun. And I think that that quote really kind of sums that concept up. And I am fortunate to be in a love that feels very actioned and actionable, and it is a wonderful thing. So yes, I would like to shout out that article, and also my beautiful, amazing girlfriend who has made this year pretty great here at the end of it.
Awesome. When you said you had an Autostraddle article, I was like, oh man, I wonder which one it's going to be. That is a great pick. That was a fantastic essay, and also love the tie-in.
Yeah, it's nice when those things become relevant for real life.
for sure. Let's see. Oh, so this is actually this is like the last thing on the list that I brought. So if you have other things, I'll just have to like sit here and think really fast about other things that I like. But the last thing on my list was our listeners. Oh my God. You do most of the like admin work of our podcast in responding to emails, but every email we have gotten, I've been so happy about, and especially from like we had, oh man, and I'm going to hope that you remember the name because I don't off the top of my head, but the listener who wrote to us a different take on the Pugprozol, who was pro Pugprozol.
I think that was our listener Liberty.
You might,
I think that was Liberty.
Be right about that. But yeah, I really, that actually made me like reconsider some of my more recent feelings about Emerson. And that was really exciting. So yeah, I love our listeners. I love the things that they send to us, the videos, the commentary. I just, you know, like I sometimes feel like we, you know, we would do this if we had like no listeners, we would do this if we had one listener, but I love that we have a lot of listeners and a lot of listeners who are as invested in this world and this universe as we are. Thank you guys so much for like being on this journey with us. Deep, deep appreciation and love for you guys.
1,000%. It is always a joy to connect with our listeners in any way and to know that, like, I don't know, I know I've talked about this before, but like, I am an avid listener of podcasts. There have definitely been times where I'm like, oh, it's like my friends in the podcast world. I get to like, just like listen to my friends talk for a little while. And so the idea that we might get to provide that for anybody is really, really special. And we've gotten some lovely messages this year about the podcast in some way helping people feel less alone. And that is like, that is the ultimate. Like, I can't think of anything better. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, I consider our listeners to be our friends too. Like,
oh, 1,000%. Yes.
Absolutely. It goes both ways.
Absolutely. It goes both ways. Yeah. And anybody who listens to the podcast, like, I feel like we're all like on like one big team together in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're in our own little like community of PLL.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to like do kind of like a speed round of just a few things so we don't have to linger too long of just me talking.
So I don't have to just like keep thinking.
Like, do, 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 do.
Great.
So I'm going to just mention for shows the second seasons of Hacks and Only Murders in the Building. Enjoyed both of those so much. I also feel like there was more kind of queer content in season two of both of those shows. So definitely enjoyed both of those. The new Scream movie was, I mean, we talked about that, but like super, super fun. Loved, you know, very unfortunate that Neve Campbell is like not really getting her due for the subsequent film, but what a send off for Sydney Prescott. What a send off. And then in another movie, I'm going to mention the film Barbarian, which was one of the scariest movies I think I have ever seen, but was also, not to make everything about my relationship, but, you know, a very fun thing. Somewhat early in our relationship, my girlfriend and I saw that movie in theaters together. Literally, this is like so gay. We held both of each other's hands the entire time. Partially because the movie was scary, partially because, like, you know, we're very gay. So anyway, that was a very fun time at the theater, even though that movie was somewhat traumatizing.
Okay, now I have a really important question. So if you were holding both of each other's hands through the whole movie, like, did you just like watch the screen the whole time? Or did you like, if you had to like hide your eyes, did you just like close your eyes? Did you like bury your like eyes in her shoulder? Like what did you do?
I think that there were a couple of times when I had to like kind of bury my eyes in her shoulder, but for the most part, we were both watching the whole time. Wow. It was very engrossing.
Wow.
It was very engrossing.
Brave gaze.
Not sports gaze, not camping gaze, but a couple of just real quick book recommendations. Real Easy was a really engaging, fun mystery that also got pretty queer. Enjoyed that a lot. Manhunt, absolutely grisly queer horror novel. Enjoyed is maybe not the word I would use, but like was engaged by 1,000%. All of you, every single one, was an incredible like World War II set queer novel. Really like gut-wrenching and beautiful. Loved that one a lot. And then I think like this is like the last thing that I will mention. which is a song, which is This Hell by Rina Sawayama. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. This was my girlfriend's most listened to song of the year. And it was not mine, but I think it is a very, very fun, just like queer, fun-filled celebration. And really sort of feels in the mode of like Lil Nas X's music, who I also someone I really enjoyed this past year, of kind of this idea of like, yeah, you say that us gay people are going to hell. Well, then we're going to make it a party, which I think was really fun. Great pride anthem. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
There is a song. I actually didn't mention it because I was so sure it was going to be on your list. And that is Dove Cameron.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. Just, I mean, you could have just stopped that sentence after Dove Cameron. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. Dove Cameron, like being, you know, this like former Disney star who's just like so queer and so like doing like sexy queer music. Yeah. Love that. Love that for her. And that performance gets a spot on the list.
At the AMAs, was it?
The AMAs, I believe. Yes. Yeah. For sure. What a way to close out this list.
Yeah. Yeah. We just really wanted to like up the queer level right at the end there with Dove Cameron.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, what a list. I mean, my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, we had a lot more things to talk about than I didn't really know how many we would have, but there were a lot. They were queer. They were fun. They brought us joy. That's what's important.
That is what's important. And this, you know, obviously no particular order. And there were many more things that we enjoyed this year, but these were the ones that felt
top
like
of mind.
Top of mind. Exactly. Exactly. I would so love if any of our listeners want to write in about the things that like brought them joy this past year. Could be, you know, quotes, books, movies, experiences, music, whatever. Like, I feel like the more joy we can experience, the better. Yeah. So please send us your lists.
Yeah. Did something good happen to you this year? That would make me happy.
Yes.
Do you want to write in and tell me who you like to marry in Stardew Valley? Because I would talk about that. I would talk about that for ages. The first playthrough I did, I married Leah and she was a drip. She only talks about salad. Didn't like that. Didn't work out.
Well, you can, of course, send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify. We didn't like talk about a ton of music to make a playlist for this week, but there is a playlist for last week's sibling episode if you would like to listen to it. And yeah, you can send in a rating and review on iTunes. And we will be back in 2023 with the one and only 7B.
Till next time, I hope everybody has a safe holiday season. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you next year.
Yes. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.